I just had the privilege of meeting Sid this week for the first time, but I have had many conversations with Sid and text messages and emails and things for the last couple of years. And I'm just encouraged by him and by everything that he has been doing. I had a need a couple of years ago to move some Bibles from point A to point B, get them gone and try to do it as quickly as possible. And I didn't have a good way to do it, and I'm trying to find an inexpensive way to do it. And somebody told me, call Sid. I'm like, I don't know this guy, but I'll call him. And he's like, hey, brother, no problem. I'll be right there. We'll take care of you. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And so that struck up a relationship between Heartland and Gospel Transport. And I'm just really, every time I talk to Sid, I'm just fired up. But the amount of scriptures, of God's word that he moves, him and his son, his ministry, from just throughout within the United States down to the border of Mexico and places like that, back and forth between churches, and it's incredible. I thought we were doing good with what we have out here in our armory, and we are scratching the bare surface compared to what he and his ministry is doing. And I'm just fired up every time I think about it, every time I hear from him, every time I find out. And when I found out that he was delivering Bibles to Joe, I mean, that just sealed the deal, you know. He's got needs. This man and his family and his son, they've been hauling signatures now, really with just trusting God. They've had difficulties. They've had problems. They've had financial needs, but they've just been trusting God. Every time they move something, it's just with a love offering. They don't charge anybody. And if somebody said thank you and sent them on their way, he'd be praise the Lord and he'd go. You know, that's incredible. But they've never been without. God has always blessed. One of the things that came up as a need for them recently was the trailer that they use. It was literally, I mean, I'm not joking about this. It was falling apart at the axle. There was no place left to weld, to rebuild it. And so they finally built a new trailer. And he's like, I need some money. So he's talking to me, and I'm trying to raise, I think he was at the time, $16,000 trying to raise for this custom-built trailer. This is a trailer of all trailers. It's incredible. If you had a chance to see it before it left and went down to Corpus Christi a couple of days ago. I just wanted to bring it to your attention one more time because the money that he raised to get this trailer covered and get it paid for didn't get used to take Bibles. And so if you want to help him in any way, shape, or form, I just want you to know that he would appreciate it. But I'm speaking for him in this matter. If you can give him some money, if you can just help him in any way, he would love that, and I would love that. And so I just want to mention that as he comes now, and he's going to share, he's going to give his testimony. I'm going to let him speak about his life and about how he got involved in all of this stuff. I just think it's kind of like Moses. God says, I need you to do something. He said, I don't know what to do. He says, what do you have in your hand? And, well, I got a trailer, a truck. You know, and it's like, okay, use that. Because God will use anything that you have if you just be willing to serve him. And so I'm fired up with Sid. Come on up and speak to us, brother.
About 20 years ago, Brother Sid Madden saw the great need that soul-winning pastors and missionaries had for physical copies of Scripture in order to advance the cause of Christ. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, he determined to do what was needed. This was the beginning of Gospel Transport, a ministry dedicated to delivering the Word of God from the source to the need. Financing this great ministry mostly out of his own pocket, he has faithfully transported multiplied thousands of cases of Scripture, from tracts, John and Romans booklets, to entire Bibles. He has overseen the coordinating and delivering of Scripture to numerous places, both in the U.S. and in other countries. About 10 years ago, veteran missionary Bob Smith began giving out gospel tracts and literature in the great outdoor markets along the Mexican border. As time went on, Gospel Transport became Bob Smith's major source of literature. This amazing partnership has allowed he and his volunteer sowers to distribute an average of 1 million portions of Scripture each and every month. If only half of 1% of the people who receive that gospel message would respond to it, that would be 5,000 people each month. In the spring of 2017, Brother Jack Ferguson, having been a missionary to Mexico since the year 2000, joined forces with both Gospel Transport and the Sowers Ministry. Our mission is simple. We are working as hard as we can to deliver as many pieces of gospel literature into the hands of as many people as possible. But we need your help. We cannot continue to transport scripture and supply numerous soul-winning ministries without the faithful prayer, financial giving, and volunteer soul-winning workers from churches just like yours. If every church member would give just $1 more, if every pastor would catch the vision of the great harvest before us, if every Christian would sincerely pray, then we would have sufficient finances, we would have sufficient workers in the field, and we would accomplish the reaping of this great harvest while we still have the time. For the sake of the countless souls who have yet to hear that Jesus saves, would you prayerfully consider partnering with us as we seek to deliver the Word of God from the source to the need?
I first want to thank each and every one of you for allowing us to come and be part of this. It's awesome. The preaching, the music, it's all awesome. I want to thank your pastor for inviting me and Pastor Randy. It's unbelievable that they still churches in the U.S. of A. like this. Y'all ain't done nothing but encourage. I was supposed to come in and encourage you, but you encouraged me. Amen? Wow. This is my wife, Golden. Most of you met her. But I want her to share a small version of your testimony. Don't be taking up all my time. Yeah, you can tell them about the 35 grandkids we got. We ain't got no 35 grandkids? Well, I know it was because I count them when they're running in the house.
They're 14, dear.
Oh, 14. I guess they're coming in the back door on me, huh?
Right.
Here. Give them your testimony.
Okay. I'm Golden, and I thank you first for allowing us to be here to talk with you and present our ministry. It's a far better thing we do now than we've ever done before. I know that's a point, but it really applies to us. And my earthly name is Golden, but I've got a new one waiting for my up there. And he knows, and he'll give it to me when I get there. All of us will be there. I was born again at age 14 in a little church up a hollow in Morrisport, Kentucky. The pastor was a big, tall Dutchman, but he put himself through seminary because when he was home, he knew that God had called him, and so he announced at supper that he was going to be a preacher, and they all laughed at him. So he said, okay. So he got a job and worked his passage over to America, put himself through seminary, and when he went before the board of missions, they said, well, where have you been called to? And he said, where nobody else wants to go. You get one guess. That was Kentucky. And now I was saved at 14, and I'm in my 60th salvation year. So if you add that up, you know how old I am. I am number 10 of 12 children. My father was a coal miner in Kentucky, and when Detroit came down with big guns, they said, it ain't worth getting killed over because of the family. And so he went to Sharonville, Ohio, and got a job, construction work, which is what he enjoyed better anyway. And he raised us with that. And we had our own farm, and we were never cold or hungry. It was tough sometimes, but we were clothed and fed and loved. One Sunday at benediction, my preacher said, there's someone here who needs to come to the Lord. I was 14 at the time. And my befuddled 14-year-old brain said, is it me? Well, okay. Mom had called us to lunch, and on the way to the kitchen, I went by the coffee table, and Dad had left his Bible open on it. And I paused, and I don't know why, God, I suppose, was leading me, but I glanced down at it. And if you want to turn to it, I saw Matthew 10, 32, 33. If you want to read that with me. And this changed my life. Matthew 10, 32, 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, God hears your prayer when you ask him to come to your heart and save you. But they say, I've heard that sinners, God doesn't answer the prayer. But, oh, I certainly hope to make it to next Sunday. And by his grace, I did. Well, God's got... distracted on my notes. But anyway, at the invitation, I immediately stepped out and hurried down the aisle. And I don't remember even feeling my feet touching the floor. I made my way to the altar and asked Jesus to come to my heart and save me. And he did.
Amen.
And I'm a skeptical type person when I hear things that are just a little bit beyond the norm. But as soon as I had asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me, I was drenched with sweat, and there wasn't a dry hair or stitch of clothing on me there that was dry. It was wet. I was just drenched. And, well, I thought it was odd. My friend, Laverne Stamper, sat next to me in a choir, and she gave me her little hanky. And, of course, it wasn't sufficient, but so I used it anyway. And I've heard of one other man that stood up in a church we were visiting, gave his testimony, and he said he also had been drenched with sweat. So it wasn't just an isolated, miraculous thing that happened just to me. And that did my heart so much good. It was somebody else like me. But, and my favorite passage in the Bible, they're all good and great, but it's Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. You want to read that with me? I like things tied up in a little neat package. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Thank you.
I'll go sit down.
Huh?
I'll go sit down.
Here. Yeah. Go ahead. God's good, ain't he?
Amen.
He's awesome. I just wanted you to get to know us. I want you to get to know my wife. I want you to get to know me. So when you pray, you're praying for us. And then I want you to pray for the ministry. But I want you to pray for me and my wife. As we travel, as we try to do the work for the Lord. See, as you got a hold of God's vision, you picked up on God's vision, That's what we done. We picked up on God's vision for the lost. He wants the lost, right? So we picked up that vision and we ran with it. Gospel transport has three goals. The lost, amen. The lost, amen. And the lost. Then we put in, we want to encourage. We want to encourage our Christian brothers and sisters to fulfill their potential of being a Christian. To being a Christian and to fill your potential, you got to be a soul winner. Do you realize, regardless, the pastor, song leader, each individual in here, if you don't have a personal testimony and give that personal testimony, you're not in the will of God. No matter how many times I get up here and preach to a congregation, and if I didn't give a personal witness, I wouldn't be in the will of God. And that's what gospel transport, what we're about. Souls. Let me say this. If you're here tonight, I want you, and you're not saved, there's no hope for you but Jesus Christ. The only hope you got is Jesus Christ. But I do want to share a passage of scripture. And it's Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel 33. Let me just share this with you. It said, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man and a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Now, I'm going to tell you, each one of you a watchman. Before I go any farther, we're all watchmen today. We're all missionaries today. Amen. So this is talking about each and every one of us. And I want you to get a hold of this. It said, for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and take not warning, if the sword comes and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. But now wait a minute, here's what it says. He heareth the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. Said that twice. But here, now, this, get a hold of this. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Why are we doing that? But get this. But if the watchman see the sword cometh and blow not the trumpet, if the sword comes, if the sword come and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will be, will, his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. His blood is going to be on your hands if you haven't give a testimony to him, a personal testimony. And then saying that, I want to say this. I want to share a story with you. When we first started this ministry, me and my brother, the gray-headed fella you see in that video, has been down there 8 months full-time now. But we were doing firewood, selling firewood, cutting up firewood and selling it to pay for getting gas money, you know, to get down the road and buy scriptures and Bibles so we can send them across the waters or whatever. We done what we had to do, but we was, and we had a young man, well, I'd say he was in his mid-20s or later. He come to work for us to cut that firewood and stuff. His name Robert. I want to share this with you. Robert, red nose, you know, kind of runny, red eye, real red-faced. Most of us know what that means, right? Robert owned drugs, and Robert drank a lot. But he come in there, he sober, he cut wood, split wood. Lord spoke to my heart. He said, witness to Robert. I said, okay, Lord. That day went by. Second day come around, Robert showed up. The Lord says, you didn't talk today, God. Well, we got busy and everything. We got to the firewood, and third day come around, right? My wife, you know, see, we're a pretty good team. She says, have you witnessed Robert yet? I said, today, honey. I said, Jesus has already been talking to me about that. I said, I get it done today. So I went to talk to Robert. Knowing he's going to say, get out of my face. You know, had all the signs. He ain't going to listen to me. I said, Robert, you believe in heaven? Yeah. I said, then you believe in hell, right? Yeah. I said, which one are you going to? He said, hell. I said, is that where you want to go? Listen to me, if you're here tonight and lost, is that where you want to go? Do you want to go to hell? I said, no. So I gave him a plan of salvation, run him through the plan of salvation. Okay. Robert said, will you pray with me? I said, yeah, I'll pray with you. Raised, got done praying. I said, Robert, where are you going now? He said, I'm going to go see my mommy and daddy. Amen. Here, now listen to me. Get a hold of this. A week and a half later, Rodney, my brother, come gone. We was going down the field to pick up some logs and stuff to cut up the firewood. He said, you hear Robert got killed in a car wreck. About 2 days before that, big tears started coming out of my eyes. Tears coming out of my eyes. He said, well, you didn't know Robert. What are you crying about? I said, I led Robert to the Lord. And I said, I almost didn't. Almost didn't. Because I know Robert wasn't going to say the right things. God was preparing Robert for heaven to be with his mommy and daddy. Amen? Amen. Robert's in heaven today. Because that was an honest tears. He was broken. He was broken. And he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to know what I'm talking about. And what I'm going to ask you right now. What I'm going to ask you, I want you to fulfill your potential as a Christian. That's what it's about. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. How many Roberts in your family? Huh? How many Roberts at your work? How many Roberts have you passed on the street? Huh? This is what gospel transport's about. Reaching the lost. Encouraging my brothers and sisters that I love. And by the way, I will be praying for you all. My church family, my new church family. Amen? And you will be in my prayers that you reach your potential as a soul winner, as a Christian. Amen. Now you say, what's gospel transport about? We're about interrupting people on the way to hell. That's what we're about. Huh? That's what we're about. We're interrupting people on the way to hell. And I want to encourage you and invite you to do the same. Amen? Now, I had about three little sermons, mini sermons to preach, but I'm going to run out of time. My wife talked too long. But I do want to share one more thing as far as my testimony with you. I was saved at the age of 8 years old. Amen. My daddy was an evangelist, preacher. He even pastored. We worked all my life. I've been in church. Even before I was born, I was in church. Mama carried me in there. But I've been in church. We're about the fourth, fifth generation of preachers coming out of our families. So, anyway, I was saved at the age of eight years old and called to preach. Amen. And I've been preaching ever since. But my first experience, I remember the passage where it said, go out and preach to every creature. Okay, I'll do that. I went out beside the pine and shed and we're at the edge of the yard. And I start preaching to the birds, the animals, right? I'm preaching up a storm. But I wasn't getting much of a crowd. I said, I know. I put me a bunch of food out there. Huh? That always brings a crowd, right? Amen? That reminds you of anybody? Bunch of Baptists, don't it? Well, I got my crowd. I got my crowd. Amen. But let's preach. We'll go out there. Of course, I have Big John, my old hound dog. He's faithful. But I got noticing. I got a squirrel kept coming in. Okay, we feeding that squirrel. I built that squirrel a little house. I want to take care of that squirrel. I want to give him a house, take care of him, protect him. Y'all try to baptize squirrel? Anybody ever try that? Well, they're rebellious. Yeah, they're rebellious. That remind you of anybody? Huh? That remind me? Yeah. Ain't we all rebellious? But Pete the Squirrel, by the way, was his name. I had Robin Redbreast, Rabbit Longears, Mr. Coon. I had them all. But Pete the squirrel was rebellious. He got where he just show up part of time. And then all at once I didn't see him no more. Right? He had to go his own way. He had to do his own thing. Oh, I believe I got him saved now. But he had to do his own thing. He didn't want to be baptized. You know, if you get baptized, that's your first step of obedience. Amen. To the Lord. And your first step of the blessings. Amen. That's when your blessings start. How many of you know what squirrel season is? Well, squirrel season came in. I think Pete the squirrel fell to no good end. Right? I wanted to take care of my building, my house. I wanted to take care of Pete, but he wouldn't let me. He had to do it his own way. Does that remind you of anybody? On the other hand, I had Big John, my old hound dog, and you know, he allowed me to baptize him. He had a good bass voice, sang good. Yeah, whoa, sound good. Yeah, but you know that old Big John, he done everything I asked him to do. As long as I was looking at him, amen. As long as I was watching him, but he tried. He tried to do everything. He tried to be perfect. You know what? He just tried. What did I do? I built him a nice house. I kept him straw down, and I fed him all his days. I took care of Big John because he tried. He tried to satisfy me. He tried to do what I wanted him to do. God wants to do that for us. He wants to do that for us. Huh? And if we don't allow him to, we're going to end up like Pete the squirrel. But the scriptures that I just read you says you are a watchman. You understand that you are a watchman. You are a missionary. You say, how do I know I'm called? Do you ever think you're supposed to be a missionary? Would that be a good thing? Hey, young men, did you ever think you're supposed to preach? Do you ever have that thought that I'm supposed to preach? Where's all good thoughts? Them good thoughts, ain't it? Where'd the good thoughts come from? Huh? You called. They said, fill the shoes. You called. Amen. And far as, Brother Randy, as far as you putting your tracks and you're doing all this work back here, read Acts 15 for me. With the notion in your head, the responsibility of a church, read that with that thought, and then look down at Acts 16, verse 4 and 5. Look down there at that, and it says, "And as they went through the city, they delivered them the epistle for to keep that when were ordained of the apostles and elders which were in Jerusalem." All right, the church, I'm not doing nothing new, and I'm passing out a tract right here. What is the first record of it being done? Paul and Barnabas give the tracts out. That was called epistle. And I know on his epistle, on that letter, I also know I also know that the doctrine of Jesus Christ and where he went and was hung on that cross and was buried and rose the third day and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat so we could be saved. I know that was part of that epistle because the next verse said, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. If it wasn't part of the epistle, they wouldn't be able to be taught where they could be in faith. But now because this is an example for us to go by, it's an example for us to go by, for churches to go by, for individuals to go by. Because Paul and Barnabas was giving out to tracts, giving out to gospel. Churches begin to multiply. They begin to show up in faith. Amen. Our most heavenly Father, I pray tonight if there's one in here lost, if there's a lost soul, I pray, God, this is the night they come forward. Because they ain't nothing. They ain't nothing for them, Lord, but busting hell right open. They'll bust hell right open. They have no future, Lord. They have no future but hell. If they just come to the foot of the cross, they get an eternal future with you in the golden city, the beautiful city, Lord. Please, Holy Spirit, touch their heart tonight. Bring them to this altar. In Jesus' name, I pray and thank you all.